verse. It's Isaiah 42:16. It says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they've not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. My life, no direction, no purpose, darkness. I mean, when you're raised in the church, you really don't understand a family with no Bible, no Bible stories. I mean, why are you even here? Who knows?
Right.
I mean, a darkness. The Bible says it very good when it says darkness. And so I'll start where I was born, Michigan, and I grew up in Toledo. I had mom and dad, and had a sister a year older than me. And if you saw us at the grocery store, at the park, or ball game, wherever, you think, oh, they're a nice family, you know, yeah, mom and dad, you know, according to the world, pretty. Moral, but you don't know what goes behind closed doors. And I don't want to run down mom and dad. They did the best they could, you know, without the Bible. Mom worked really hard. She worked second shift most of my life, so I didn't see her very much. And my dad, actually, 7 years ago, he really did get saved. He's down in Arkansas. So he's got a testimony of his own, because when he called me and said he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, I mean, he tried to be an Indian. He did not believe anything in the Bible. And oh, it was definitely weird. But anyway, actually, if you see my wedding pictures, my dad's hair is probably almost as long as mine. That was his Indian stage. It was about 20 years ago. But dad was very mentally abusive. Very. I mean, you had to be perfect. I'll tell you what, you're never good enough. Can't do it right. Never good enough. And anytime you do something, it's why? I don't know why. You know, like this big, I don't know why. I don't know why I spilled milk. I don't know why I lied. I don't know why I did what I did. So that's really hard. And then he was very physically abusive. His father drank, and he would get mean. My dad never drank, but he would get mean. You thought he was the drunk man raging. I mean, we'd do something. There's been times. My sister's hair, my hair, bang. Yeah. he would get, and I'm not trying to run him down. You know, if you ever see dad, please don't think of that. And it was always because we couldn't do anything right, adding to the darkness. And mom and dad even would fight. Most of the time it's just screaming, yelling. Sometimes a little bit physical. I remember, you know, my sister and I, we'd be hiding under the table, holding each other, crying, you know, screaming. You know, dad had claw marks on his neck. Not fun, but like I said earlier, you would have never known. We looked like a nice family. Out in the public, you'd never know. And there's a lot of kids, you know, in schools and stuff, you really don't know what their home life is. And they need the Bible. They need the gospel, because it's awesome. And mom and dad got a divorce. I don't know, I might have been fifth grade. Of course, I see that coming. But then dad, kind of out of the picture. I mean, he'd come at visitations, then he'd be gone. So I didn't see a whole lot of him from, I don't know, around fifth grade to older. Sometimes he was there, sometimes he wasn't. And mom, like I said, worked second shift. So my sister and I were home alone a lot of times. We have a lot of stories about that too. I mean, people knocking on the door. And divorces are very ugly. You know, you really want to pray who you're going to marry. They're ugly.
Right.
And like I've heard Brother Dishman say, the ones who get hurt are the children. You know, you're tossed to and fro, you play sides, you don't understand. Of course, my sister never played sides because she always took dad as he absolutely hated her, so she was mom's. But, I was somewhere around 7th, 8th grade, a couple years after the divorce, mom fought for full custody. And that's probably part of another reason I didn't really see dad. I had to go to a psychiatrist. They took Ali and me separate because we were too young to be on the witness stand when she was fighting for full custody. So I saw a psychiatrist and I answered in one word questions. I was a very wall person, very wall. You couldn't get in my walls, be quiet anyway. You know, you ask me questions like blah, blah. So he was kind of getting nowhere, but he's trained. He knows what he was looking for. And he finally, at the end, he tells me, he says, well, you're gonna grow up and marry someone who beats you, or you're gonna beat your children. Here I'm a 7th, 8th grader, you know. I don't like psychiatrists because of that. But when he got on the witness stand, I wasn't there to see it. You know, mom let us know what happened. But after he got on the witness stand, the judge was completely won over to mom's side. I'm not sure what he said, but he must have saw the signs. And mom got full custody. And then we moved into, I have a half-sister and a half-brother. They're 14 years younger than me. My mom had a daughter and my dad had a son the same year. So after we found out mom was going to have Maya, dad called, said she's going to have Alexander. And I'm like, oh, I have a brother's sister. I haven't seen Alexander very much. He lives out in Colorado. But Maya, of course, was at home, and it was a very good thing for me, actually, because mom working second shift, I was 14 years old, and my sister and I took care of Maya, which gave us a little bit of responsibility. It gave us a little bit of purpose that we were lacking. You gotta feed the baby, you gotta make sure she's safe, you know. So I'm thankful for that, because we got into enough trouble as it was, teenage years, and that I'm sure helped us to not really go over the deep end. Because again, no direction, no purpose, darkness, very dark. So of course, I was pretty troubled. I didn't understand even why. And then I met Sean. And it's kind of funny, I see him here and there. He was Dean's friend. My cousin Cynthia and I are the same age. Well, Dean's 4 years older. Well, I was around 16-year-old. I thought Sean was 20. I remember my other cousin saying, oh, he's cute. I'm like, well, why don't you date him? I was thinking he's older than me. I'm 16. Actually, he's 4 months younger than me. But I was 16, and I lived up in Jerry City. It's south of Bowling Green. And I lived up there, and my grandpa lives down in this, used to, he passed away, lived in this area, and mom would send us there for the summers, and that's how I met Sean. And you know, you would be surprised, whether you're saved or not, growing up here, you've got the influence of the gospel.
That's right.
It's on you. Yes. Whether you want to serve God or not, it's just there. And he just the way he conducts himself and the things that he's been taught. Of course, he had a happy home. We're thankful for Ruby and Dave. And it's like, wow, this is how a family ought to be. And it just came off of him. Of course, I didn't understand the gospel. I just, what I understood was, wow, I like myself when I'm with him. It was the light that I was craving.
Right, right.
In my dark life is, oh, some light refreshing. It's like a cool stream. That gospel, that's how powerful the gospel is. It is powerful. And so I just, somehow he got in my high walls, and that was a miracle. It was the gospel I was craving. I was so hungry for purpose, direction, light. So hungry for it.
Yes.
And he's just, I don't know if you know Sean very well. Brian talked about him a little bit the other day. He's just so steady, and it's the influence of the gospel. He's really someone to look up to, not spiritually, but, you know, as a man, he is a very good man. And
right.
So the psychiatrist was wrong.
Thank the Lord.
But I'm going to go on up to... going to bring it up to my salvation. Well, Sean has always come Sunday morning to church. That's just, he's Sunday morning, very faithful there every Sunday morning. And so naturally, when I married Sean, I would come every Sunday morning to church. We just come. I really don't know what anybody was talking about. I really didn't pay attention to the messages, didn't really get anything, but we were there, and we were there, we were there. And one day I asked him, I said, Sean, what is saved? I've never even heard of such thing. I'm like, what's saved? And what's sin? I'm like, and what do they do when they go down there? I was talking about the altar. I'm like, what? And when I asked him what's saved, he says, you're asking the wrong person. And when I said, what do they do down there? He didn't really answer. And then I said, well, I feel like going down there. And he looks at me and he says, you should. And I was like, whatever, I never see you do anything. You know, and that was just the end of that. And somewhere in this time, I tried to read the Bible. I had one my Aunt Cindy gave me. It's probably a Catholic Bible. I don't know. I tried to read it. Nothing really made sense. You can't bring yourself out of that darkness. You can try all you want to. It's
right.
Not going to work. I had Sean, of course, Caitlin, and I was still very dark, very yucky inside. You can't bring yourself out. I mean, I was handed, what more could you need? You know, even to live a Christian life, you got a good husband, you got a little baby, you're there at church, what more do you need? Well, Jesus. You can't do it yourself.
Right.
And I was very ignorant on, kind of embarrassing, about having children. And when you wanted to have a child, you know, Sean and I had been married however long. We'll be married 20 years, Caitlin's 17, so. But I thought when you wanted to have a child, you would have one, you know. It's just, I really did. Of course, Mom always worked second shift. I never had Mom relationship ever. And so I thought, well, we thought we wanted a child. Well, I didn't get pregnant like that. And that's normal. People try for years, but me, I didn't know that. But God was working on me And he knows how ignorant you are. He knows how smart you are. He knows right where you are. And I didn't get pregnant right then. And I thought, because you are the worst person in the world, you're terrible. You're never going to have children because you're so terrible. And it was crushing me. But it was really my sin. And that's just one of the ways God was using to crush me. You have to get to that place where whatever he uses, however it happens, you've got to get to that place where you are crushed. I cannot do this. I can't. You've got to get there. And when you get there and cry out to God, he is right there. But so I was really, really low. And then the very next month, I got a bee sting and walked all the way upstairs where my tweezers were, and I took the tweezers and squeezed the bee part and pulled it out. Well, you never do that. Nobody ever did that. They say when you do that, you squeeze all the poison into you. And I had walked all the way up the stairs. Well, I ended up getting cellulitis in my leg from a bee sting because I didn't just scrape it off. Doctors are like, your fingernail, credit card, anything, just get it off right away. I didn't know that. So I ended up with cellulitis, had to stay overnight in the hospital. God knew I didn't need to be pregnant at that time. His timing's always perfect. The very next month, well, before I got pregnant, I had told God, I was so low, I said, God, if you give me a baby, and I didn't really know what praying was. I didn't ever pray. No one taught me to pray. I knew nothing about praying, but just being around here, I guess I realized, cry to God. And I said, God, if you give me a little baby, I said, I will do my best to raise that baby for you. Like I knew what I was saying. But I meant it. I really did. I meant what I was saying. I was really low. Well, so the next month after my bee sting, I was pregnant. I was so excited. Oh, God's going to give me a baby. But you remember the promises you make when you make them, when you're low like that. So, and sometime in between there, maybe when I told him that, I'm not exactly sure, but sometime in there I told God, I said, if I feel that pull to go to the altar, see, I was pretty ignorant, what's sin, what's salvation, but I told God, if I feel that again, I will go down to the altar. So I just made two very serious promises. And I really didn't know what I was saying, but I really did mean what they were. So the whole time I was pregnant, I felt no pull, felt nothing. We were there every Sunday morning. Didn't feel a thing. I had Caitlin and all the way up until she was 6 months old. Didn't feel anything. I'd go to church, didn't really get anything, didn't really feel anything. But God's working. You just don't know how he's working and which area he's working. I was in the nursery with Sister Jill Romine, Sister Carla Presley, and Sister Lisa Miller. Those are the ones that have children Caitlin's age. Oh, what a lineup. Most of the people here know those sisters. They love the Lord. And that's who God chose. Put me in the nursery with every Sunday morning. I had Caitlin back there. And just the way you talk, the way you treat people. I mean, they were happy. They talked about good things. When one of them got up and left, the other two didn't eat them for lunch. It's just not like the world. It's like, wow, these, they're happy. It means something. You just never know who you're influencing as you're just living for Jesus. So God was working, though. I didn't feel the pull to go to the altar. He's working, bringing me to that place. And so that brings us up to, of course, it was Sunday morning. That's when we were always at church. And we're there, and Brother Cummings is singing the altar call. I really don't remember the message. He's singing, "Humble thyself to walk with God. Humble thyself. The Lord will draw near thee." There he's singing at the altar call. Caitlin gets fussy. Sean grabs her and takes her out. And there I am standing by myself, listening to the words. And there's the pool. Oh no, not now. Because of course you remember what you said. And it's like, no, no, no. Try to buck, try to stop it. Stop! Doesn't go away. It says, still small voice. He leads you. And he just kept drawing. You know, you said, you said. Brother Cummings keeps singing. And I just gave up. I know what I said. I'm going. And I went down there, and Sister Cummings came and prayed with me, and I really didn't know what was happening. She asked me, have you asked God to forgive you or Jesus or something like that? And I was a liar, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I told her yes. Because I didn't understand what I was, I guess. It's kind of like, oh, that's what's expected of me. See, my dad, you're never good enough. You didn't do it right. I've got so many things God has had to work on. And he's still working. But it's awesome because he can take anybody, no matter where you come from, no matter how you were raised, anybody. Just believe the gospel and whatever that scripture, I'll show you the way, you know, and just follow. And he can do anything for anybody. And so, of course, I don't know if it was the very next service, because God met me where I was at. And Sister Cummings told me, she said, every time those church doors are open, you come. And Sean came with me that night. And then I don't remember if he came after that. He'll come here and there. And that was very hard. Sean, I look up to him. He's awesome. And I got to go to church without you. It's really hard. But God can keep you if you want kept. You just keep going the right way. And so later, of course, I had to go down and tell Sister Cummings whatever I said to her, and she prayed with me again. And it was a miracle. I cannot describe those blinded eyes open. I mean, every message. I mean, I didn't understand every single thing, but every message I could understand, I could follow. It was a miracle. I just cannot explain how miraculous. It was the blinded eyes. I was so blind and in darkness. So boom, light. And when people say, you know, the standard or whatever, who cares? Give me more gospel. It's just give me gospel. I'm so hungry. I lived in darkness all my life, and it's like, I don't even care what you tell me. Just feed me. And I went home, and I'm reading the Bible. I was like, wow! And I read Moses in the Red Sea, and I had never heard Bible stories. I'm like, what did that say? And I'm reading again, what? It opened up. They walked through on, what? I was just reading it over and over, just reading it, believing it. And that's a big thing. And that's when God can mold you the most, is when you are obeying and believing. So you want to step up and grow?
Right.
Obey and believe, because He is real. He is very real. And I'm just thankful that my darkness is gone. I've got purpose. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going.